Hi, Nicole. Nice to talk with you.
Nice to talk with you as well. Unfortunately, I'm sorry that we're talking today about a far less than perfect health care bill, but less than really what we had hoped we'd be able to get. I'm curious today your thoughts on the new House health care bill.
That's not good enough that the insurance industry is going to get $50 billion in new business. The pharmaceutical companies will continue to have the Medicare Part D gravy train, which stops the government from negotiating bulk purchases on behalf of their customers at Medicare. I think that we really have to make an assessment of the health of our political system, not just the health of the people in our nation, because we have the insurance companies. We're able not only to beat back an attempt to put a single payer discussion even before the public, but they were able to beat back a robust public option that in its first pass would have covered as many as 129 million people. Now it's down to 11 million. We really have to ask ourselves, you know, what's going on here in Washington that a Democratic majority can't do better than it did?
And I've been asking that question, and I know you have as well. Is it an issue of, is it as simple as money that the way our campaign contribution system works and may even get further in the direction of you know, in the favor of corporations, depending on how the Supreme Court rules any minute now on this public or Citizens United versus the FEC ruling? Do we need a complete overhaul of money and politics in order to get anything passed in this country?
Well, I mean, that's true, but I think it goes even deeper than that. We have an economic system that's built upon a presumption that it's okay to take the wealth of the mass of the people and accelerate it to the top. Our tax system does that. Our energy system does that. War does that. Our healthcare system does that. And so what we have is a system that's built to just take money out of a lot of people and give it to a few people and make a few fabulously rich at the expense of the many. Health insurance companies make money not providing health care. They pay their executives tens of millions of dollars in some cases annually. I mean, they're making that money from people who are getting denied care or who are not even to afford care. So this is really the question that's being asked. Yes, campaign finance is an issue. But there's an even more fundamental issue here about the way the economy is structured, that people can work a lifetime and lose everything they've ever worked for because there's an illness in the family, because we have a nation that hasn't decided yet that health care is a fundamental right.
So, Dennis Kucinich, how do we address this? I mean, we've got those on the right, the Republicans in Congress, basically convincing their constituents that health care reform is a bad thing, that giving the health insurance industry this giant windfall of a mandate that we have to buy insurance from them, that's a good thing for them. How do we change the public's perception?
Well, you know, I don't even see this as a Democrat or Republican matter, because this really goes beyond party.
Yeah.
This goes to the ideology of free market capitalism, which is a myth, because we know the government intervened in markets on behalf of and picked winners and losers. It goes to whether or not people feel there's a legitimate role for government in the life of the nation. I mean, there's some people who are so anti-government, they don't want the government even involved in government.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have a choice between a democracy or a kleptocracy. I mean, these are deep and serious philosophical debates that have political fallout and outcomes. And I think the debate's healthy for our country. What's not healthy is you have a system that currently precludes 47 million people in this country from having any being able to afford insurance, and another 50 million who are underinsured, and people are losing everything they've ever worked a lifetime for because they can't get the kind of coverage they need. And in the end, what are we left with this bill? People having a mandate to buy private insurance, and if they don't, they get fined. And there'll be a lot of low-income people who are going to find that even though the government's going to be subsidizing the insurance companies, it's still not going to be enough of a subsidy to be able to provide the kind of benefit that would enable people to be able to afford health care.
So what do we do now? I mean, I'm terribly frustrated when I read the news that your amendment that passed right. in the Education and Labor Committee that would have allowed states to enact their own single payer systems was just stripped out of the final House bill. Was there ever any discussion with the speaker about your amendment, which I thought is the one shining bright spot in the bill as it was before?
It was a bright spot. It was stripped out, I'm sure, under pressure from insurance companies. I think that, you need to know, and your listeners should be aware, that at this very moment, we're making an effort to try to get my amendment restored to the bill through a manager's amendment that is coming up on Monday, that I've had members of Congress, such as John Conyers, who's the co-author of H.R. 676, along mm-hmm. with myself, Neil Abercrombie, Raul Grijalva, Lynn Woolsey, Jan Schakowsky, and other members are rallying to the cause at this very moment, trying to get the leadership of the House to recognize that it's insufficient to put a bill in front of the American people that grants such exceptional benefits to insurance companies and pharmaceutical companies without at the same time letting the American people know that we're truly committed to giving the states the opportunity to experiment with single payer, which in and of itself will help monitor and keep the rates of insurance companies low, because they'll be afraid of gouging people in state levels if they know a single payer initiative is around the corner. So we're fighting to save the single payer state single payer initiative. And if your listeners can, make sure you contact the leadership of the House or your member of Congress to say, please help us get this back in the game. It's not too late to do it.
And do we call it the Kucinich Amendment?
That's what it is.
I know.
Kucinich State Single Payer Amendment. That
right.
Was the amendment. It was in the bill. We're not asking for anything new. It was in the H.R. 3200. We got it in the Education and Labor Committee, and we need it restored in order to keep open the hopes that people have that we truly can control the insurance companies in the first case by having a real alternative. In the second case, if the insurance companies don't perform well, that people will be able to go their own way and create a system of healthcare at the state level, which would be a single payer. I mean, this is something that the public has a right to expect Congress would deliver on. It doesn't cost anything to deliver on this. It shows the Democratic base that we appreciate the longstanding support for serious health care reform, and it just keeps the insurance companies on notice that we're not their slaves, we're not captives, that we do have another choice if this system that the Democrats are prepared to put into law doesn't work.
Congressman Kucinich with us here on Air America. If the Kucinich Amendment is not put back in the new health care bill, is there enough in there to make it worth voting for? I know that the names you just read off, that's the leadership of the Progressive Caucus, who all pledged to vote against any bill that does not contain a robust public option. And we know that this bill has the not quite the robust public option we were first talking about.
Well, yeah, it's more bust than row.
Yeah.
And I think that we have to make a decision after we read the bill, what's the best course to take. But before this bill goes to the floor and before the manager's amendment, which will be attached to the bill, is perfected, it's going to be critically important for people to be heard from to make sure that we get the Kucinich Amendment back in the bill. Now, am I going to vote for the bill? I can't say right now I'm going to vote because I haven't read the bill. But I am going to read the bill. It's about 1,900 pages. It's sitting in the middle of my desk right now, and it looks like it's going to be some pretty heavy reading over this weekend. But I'm absolutely determined to do everything I can to protect the right of states and the right of people who are organized at a state level at this very moment to try to have a healthcare system they can call their own. Because in the end, Nicole, if we're left with a system where people are mandated to buy private insurance and are stuck with premiums, copays, and deductibles, it's going to be real tough to demonstrate to the American people in 2010, 2012, 2014 that we delivered in a significant way. That's not to say there aren't some things in the bill that are not praiseworthy, but we have to ask ourselves: are we just keeping alive the structure of a healthcare system that has consistently failed the American people? Because it protects the insurance company's business. And not only protects it, it builds on it.
Exactly. And that's the frustration I've been feeling, and that many of my listeners as well. I heard that the Progressive Caucus had a meeting last night with the president. Were you there?
I was there. We met with the president for about an hour and 15 minutes.
And can you give us any? I'm hearing that he is actually not even for the public option, that he's more in favor of a trigger in order to get Olympia Snowe's support. Is that what you're hearing?
Well, we didn't really discuss that in the meeting. What we did, each of us, was to go around the table and talk about the things that we are most concerned about. I certainly talked about the stripping of a state single-payer amendment and presented a case as to why I thought it would be worth the White House supporting an effort to have it restored. I don't know what's going to happen on that, but I made the case. And, you know, that we had a good meeting as far as I was concerned, but I don't know if it's going to result in any changes in the bill. I mean, the president has taken one approach in health care, and he's really been trying to work to put together a consensus. Whether or not that approach is going to result in a product that's going to have broad support among the American people, I don't know. But that's the approach he's taken. And, you know, I certainly respect him. I wish that he had been more supportive of the single-payer option, but during the campaign, he never made any promises with respect to that. And I don't think that you can hold someone to account for something they never committed to do.
Right, but he did commit to support a public option, and he hasn't even been doing that.
Well, I think there's still time for him to do that. And hopefully we'll see that happen. And I think this is a long-distance run. We not only have to go through the debate on the floor and to vote on the bill, but when the Senate bill comes to meet the House bill in a conference committee, we'll end up looking at a conference report, which will be the actual bill that will go into law if it's passed. So this is the beginning of a discussion. And after that, even once it passes, Nicole, there's parts of the bill, or a good part of the bill, won't go into effect until 2013. And so we're looking at it's taking quite a while to be able to assess whether the bill's effective and whether it works for Americans. And frankly, I think in that time, there's going to be, you know, more people finding more economic pressure. And that's why keeping a state single payer option alive would really be the key to helping to control insurance rates. Because if you don't have a robust public option to control insurance rates, the other lever that consumers would have is, look, if you keep gouging us, we'll just create our own healthcare system at a state level. So that's, you know, we had a good discussion with the president, but, you know, he has his way of looking at this, which I think has guided his approach to trying to see if he can build consensus within the Senate, within the House, in between the two bodies.
I hope that is what happens, and I think so. The call to action right now is for everybody to contact the House leadership and their member of Congress and demand that the Kucinich Amendment be put back in the new health care bill.
That's right. People can do that. I mean, I think, look, I'm not going to disparage our leadership. I think they're doing the best they think they can do. But, you know, with a little bit of a push from the public, they may do better.
I agree. Dennis Kucinich, I got to say, others have, you know, sort of come in and swooped in and taken a bit of the spotlight on the health care debate. But you've been there from day one. You and John Conyers co-authored H.R. 676, the single payer bill, which is actually what we really need if we're to have true health care reform. That's the standard that never should have been taken off the table. Unfortunately, it was before the table was even set to begin the big meal to discuss health care reform.
Well, that's
a travesty.
A good point. It was taken off the table because the insurance companies were setting the table.
Yeah, and that shouldn't be. We did not elect the insurance companies to run this country. We elected Democrats to control the House, the Senate, and the White House. And it's really disheartening to those of us who follow so closely and had this great hope for what this new era in government was going to bring. And unfortunately,
you know what?
There's no change.
You're right. We have a right to expect more out of our Democratic Party. But you know what? As I said at the beginning of this conversation, Nicole, this is really some, you know, fundamental questions about the nature of our political system, about the nature of our political economy, the ideology that runs it, and whether or not it really in any way, shape, or form, other than a a single payer system has the ability to serve the needs of the people. The American people are getting a textbook lesson in civics in the context of interest groups here, the hold they have in our economy, and how difficult it is to bring about any kind of change. But I believe, I really believe with all my heart, that sooner or later, someday in America, in our lifetimes, stay healthy, we will see a single payer system.
Well,
but it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen because of this bill,
no.
Except we need to fight to keep the rights of people at the state level to create something.
Well, I certainly hope so. And Congressman Dennis Kucinich, I'm biting my tongue here because I know it's not a question you want to hear. But the question I want to ask you, and I don't expect an answer, but just to get it out there, is if we do not get meaningful health care reform passed, if they give us a bill that's nothing more than a handout to the insurance companies, which is sort of what we have now if they don't put your amendment back in, would you consider running again in 2012, and maybe we need to form a new party. Maybe we need the Progressive Party. Maybe because the Democrats are letting us down.
Well, you know, I at every moment in this journey in the House of Representatives, you know, I always think about what can we do to make this system work better. What can we do to make our parties respond better? And frankly, you know, we do see limitations to the two-party system, but I don't know any other way that you can challenge it except from within, and that's what I've tried to do through two runs for president of the United States. And I found that within the Democratic Party, even though I disagree mightily with the leaders on some things, that, you know, there's still been a place for me. If I feel at some point there isn't, then I'd reevaluate that. But I still believe that, you know, within this structure, we can try to change things. And is it difficult? You bet it is. Is it difficult to challenge these interest groups day in and day out? Yes, but I still think, even though with all that, I still think it's possible to try to bring change within the structure. If on some day I wake up and I say, you know what, despite my best efforts, I don't think within the structure can be done, I'll let everybody know, but I haven't reached that conclusion yet.
Okay, well, you know that you've got a lot of people out here who are there with you, whatever you decide, because you're the one who has not let us down from the beginning. I mean, you've been a straight shooter. You hold true to your ideals, and you've got the people in mind. And it's not about special interests. It's about what's right for the people in this country. And I appreciate it, and I know my listeners do too.
Well, I appreciate what you said, and just so there's no misunderstanding, you know, I don't have any plans to run in 2012. I'm in the Congress. I hope to stay in the Congress as long as I can. I'm involved nationally. I'll continue to be involved nationally, and I appreciate the support that I have from people nationally. But I also am here through the good graces of the people in Ohio's 10th district.
Mm-hmm.
I never forget that. And when you hear my voice, just know that it's people back in Cleveland, Ohio who make it possible.
I know, and they're very lucky to have you, as are the rest of us in other parts in the country, because in addition to representing the people of Cleveland and Ohio, you are representing the rest of us, and you're fighting the good fight, and we need more people like you in Congress. So,
thank you. Let's stay in touch, and let's see what happens with this amendment. We're going to keep pushing right up until the last moment to get this in the bill, and we'll see what happens. I'm just going to, you know, I don't waste time just worrying about what might not happen. I try to spend time making things happen. So we're pushing again. We'll keep it going.
Great.
And we need your help.
You
we
got
need your
it.
Help. You're listening. Help us out. Make the calls. Help us push for this. Let's keep seeing if we can change it.
And I will have all the contact information up on my blog tonight so that everybody can just go there, make the phone calls, and let's get moving on this.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Nicole.
Thank you, Congressman Kucinich. It is a
we'll
pleasure.
We'll talk again.